Rav Amital was often intrigued about communication, the way we convey our feelings to one another, our ideas, our thoughts, how a Rebbe can be successful in communicating not just information, but wisdom, values, how to become good listeners. He spoke about it a lot, and it's not something you typically hear. It's assumed great ideas will convince people, and great listeners will discover good and important information, but he didn't take it as something for granted. And he spoke about it very often, Parshas Va'ira. This is a summary of a sicha he gave in 2002, Shalashoda sicha. Moshe has an inspiring message, leaving Mitzrayim, redemption, entering the land of Israel, Votzesi, Vitzalti, Vigalti, Vilakachti, Vislechem Lelokim. And nothing could be more uplifting and energizing, yet Veloshemuel Moshe Mikotzeruach, Umeavodah Kasha. And it's evidence that a message alone, in words alone, will never solve problems. And even the greatest message delivered from the greatest person will not be simply understood. And obviously you can hear, but they didn't absorb, they didn't process, they didn't allow themselves to be convinced. So this was an opportunity to reflect in general about messages, listening, communication, that even Moshe Rabbeinu's great and bold new message wasn't heeded. So words alone don't convey. Now, it's interesting that Moshe Rabbeinu was presented as someone who's a kvad peh, kvad lashon, aral sfasayim, hard to speak, difficult of speech. The Maharal talks about it in a more physical way, that Moshe had a speech that wasn't physical, but it was spiritual, it was ahistorical, beyond, it was metaphysical. Rav Amital, as he often did, adopted the Maharal and tried to explain it in what we would call more modern terms, less metaphysical terms. The Maharal has an entire system. Much of the terminology of the system are the types of ideas and constructs we don't typically think in, or the terms we don't use to think about today. So for Rav Amital, Moshe had a message that was meant to be delivered in content alone, without rhetoric and persuasion. Very often leaders are great orators, and they're empty of ideas, but their thoughts are conveyed because of the context and the moment and the persuasiveness of their personality. And I'm delivering my own words, that Moshe's ideas were historical, not just contemporaneous, and they had to be stripped of any window dressing or any framework or any aesthetic element that may allow them to be accepted in that context, but may not assure their historical meaning, at least at this stage. Obviously, Moshe becomes a great orator later on in Sefer Devarim. Now, Rav Amital didn't talk about, maybe this is the reason they weren't immediately accepted. The Torah doesn't present it that way. The Torah presents it as if the words weren't heeded because of the challenge and the struggle and the labor and the shortness of breath and the shortness of imagination. But maybe since Moshe wasn't at this point yet an orator, his words couldn't yet convince. But again, there was a historical agenda that far surpassed the needs of this moment. But for Rav Amital as well, it allowed us to focus both on the way we speak to others and the way we listen to those speaking, to learn to differentiate between content and style, still appreciating the importance to twin the two, but recognizing that Moshe, because he was impeded and handicapped, there was an attention to content and attention to substance, not necessarily to style. And this, of course, was then translated for us by Rav Amital into developmental questions, not just why historically Moshe's speech or language wasn't heeded to, why Moshe's speech was style deficient but heavy on content. As speakers, we pay attention to how we speak and the relationship between style and form and why our messages aren't heeded. And of course, sometimes in life, we're listeners. And there's a challenge to know how to listen and how to listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and how to grow from messages of Torah and messages of others. And we actually daven for that. Hu yiftach libeinu b'Torah so v'yasem libeinu ahava so v'yirso. That we don't just ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to allow us to develop in Torah, but to allow us to open our hearts and our ears to listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And not just do we ask Hashem to facilitate us to listen, but also to allow us to understand how to call to Him. And there's a beautiful section in Shir HaShirim, Hanitzanim Nu Ba'aretz, Eitazim Mirhigia, Kol HaTorah Nishma Bi'Artzeinu. This is in Perek Beis. Hashmini Esmarai Harini Esmarai Hashmini Eskolech Yonasi Bechag Vyasela Beseser Madrigos Harini Esmarai Hashmini Eskolech. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu here is the male calling out to his female bride, let me hear your voice. The winter has passed, the new spring is upon us, a new generation, a new era, and Hashem wants our prayers. He wants us to need him and to speak to him. And I think that that helped us daven, recognizing that davening wasn't ever meant to be automatic. And just as if we have to improve our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is yearning for our voices. And when we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like we ask him to help us hear and listen, we also, he asks us to speak to him, just as we ask him to allow us to understand his words. And when we daven, we are almost fulfilling HaKadosh Baruch Hu's wish that we connect with him and to him. And Harini Esmarayich, Hashmini Eskolech. So there were a lot of different ideas, but they all surrounded the major theme of communication. Ideas alone can't move people, as inspiring as they are. You need a will to listen. The relationship between what Moshe said and how he said it. Our desire to become better listeners. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's desire to listen to us. And they all spoke about different parts of communication, but I think it reminded us and it made us think about how we communicate, the value of communication, the challenges of communication. He spoke about it a lot in Parshas Emor. Emor lakonim b'nei Aaron v'amarta. There are two amiros in this pasuk, two conveyances. And in Chassidus is an amira rishona and an amira shenea. And the amira rishona is just saying something just to open someone's heart, not expecting that the ideas will enter or penetrate or be heeded or acted upon. And then there's a second amira. Once a heart is open, then you can actually speak in a direct and persuasive fashion. And sometimes we're less sensitive to that first amira. We expect our words to be heeded and absorbed immediately. And we don't realize there's a process of an amira rishona, an amira shnia, and the amira is verbal, but it's creating grounds for communication and the framework to allow our ideas. And I think something I've thought about a lot in many phases of my life, professionally and personally, that you can't just expect an amira shnia to be successful without the amira rishona. Rami Tel told us a very intriguing story that he was deciding whether to take the offer of becoming the Rosh Hashiva of this newfound project of Yeshivat Har Etzion. He was driving home from Tel Aviv one night and he heard on the radio a sad and tragic story about a multi-story building in New York that was set ablaze, and the children were caught on an upper story and the parents were begging them from the street below to jump, and the balloons and the cushions and the pads that were already spread out, and the children just were too afraid. They couldn't understand that they were safe and they all died of smoke inhalation. And listening to the story, he reflected upon the great tragedy that the older generation, the parents, had a message for the younger generation that was useful, that could save their lives, and they just didn't have the language to convey it, and they couldn't convey the feeling of safety and security that they realized but that the little children couldn't understand. And he thought it's such a tragedy when one generation can't communicate with another generation. Anyway, that night he arrived home in Gibbat Mordechai, which is the community in which he lived, and he saw a fire break out in a local apartment building, and he saw a woman caught behind a door or behind a window, and he banged on the door. She was asleep or something, and he helped her escape. And the juxtaposition of those two stories, the inability of the parents in New York to enable their children to jump, and his own ability to call out and to alert this woman and to save her life, convinced him that unlike those parents, he, of the older generation, did have a language that the younger generation could appreciate and the younger generation could understand. And therefore, this was part of his mission. And he got such delight in the end of his life, especially when he was older, when younger people found his messages relevant, his ideas still meaningful in an ever-changing context. But it's something that he spoke about a lot. He spoke about it in Parshas Va'era, how to listen, how to speak. HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires our listening. We desire, Hashem desires our speech. We desire his assistance in becoming better listeners. And the frustrated communication or the beginning of Sefer Parshas Va'era was a proof or evidence that it's not something which is a given, that our communication isn't just something which happens without thought and without framing.